Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will drive away. I will never, ever drive away." Excuse me about that. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day."
ヨハネによる福音書6章35節から40節。イエスは言われた。私が命のパンです。私に来る者は決して飢えることがなく、私を信じる者はどんな時にも決して乾くことがありません。しかしあなた方は私を見ながら信じようとしないと私はあなた方に言いました。父が私にお与えになるものは皆私のところに来ます。そして私のところに来るものを私は決して捨てません。私が天から下ってきたのは自分の心を行うためではなく、私を使わした方の御心を行うためです。私を使わした方の御心は、私に与えてくださったすべてのものを私が一人も失うことなく、一人一人を終わりの日によみがえらせることです。事実、私の父の御心は、子を見て信じる者が皆永遠の命を持つことです。私はその人たちを一人一人終わりの日によみがえらせます。
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. I think you guys are doing good. I heard some good here and there. Where should I start? Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We ask your Holy Spirit would come, would fill our hearts, fill this place. Lord, we just pray that you would touch us where we need to be touched. You would fill us, Lord, where we need to be filled. That your grace would come upon this place. And Lord, for those of us who need a word of encouragement, I pray your grace would give that to us. For those of us who need strength, I pray your grace would give that to us. For those of us who need breakthrough, we pray that your grace would give that to us. We thank you so much for your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus here declares, "I am the bread of life." Now, Jesus, of course, is very literate of the Bible, Old Testament. And when he makes this statement, it's not just a simple, "I am bread." He's actually alluding to an ancient passage, an encounter with God from the past. If you guys, some of you may remember, Moses came and encountered God. And in this encounter, he sees this burning bush. And the burning bush, out of it, the Lord speaks to Moses. He speaks to Moses. That is the Hebrew way of saying Moses. To Moses. Just kidding. To Moses. He speaks to Moses. And in this encounter, Moses is told to go back to Egypt, set my people free. And Moses says, you know, I'm not... I'm not worthy, I stutter, this is, they're not going to listen to me. And God gets a little angry with Moses, and Moses says, okay, fine, I'll go. And he says, tell me your name. I need to know your name so that they'll listen to me. And he says, God says, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. And so this I am statement is a very is important for the Jewish people. It's not just a simple I am. It is an inference, or it's a declaration of the I am that revealed himself to Moses and to Israel. Jesus is saying, I am the same one. In the Gospel of John, there are seven, at least seven, perhaps six, it depends the way you look at it, I am statements. Pop quiz, anyone know all seven?
No.
Well, let's try to remember some of these. I am what?
The Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. Great.
I am the door.
The door. Yes. And some people think those two may be the same, but those, yes, those are.
I am the truth and the light, the truth and the life.
The truth, the life, and the way. Good. That's a combined. We're all on the same team. It's okay. We can help each other's work.
I'm the rock.
The rock? He is the rock, but he does not make that declaration. He is certainly the rock. Yes, I am the vine. How many is that? He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the gate. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Huh? I am the bread. Good. Oh, that's, thank you. I am the bread. There's two more. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the light of the world. This I am the bread of life is actually the first of those seven I am statement we find here in John 6. I think it's interesting that he uses bread as who he is. He describes himself as bread. There's context to this, but I'd like to just sort of, you know, I've asked myself, why bread, Lord? And if you go to different cultures, and some, I've heard this, I don't know if it's true, but I heard other translations of the Bible, instead of saying bread, because bread isn't their staple food, they will use a different staple food, sort of like, I am the plantain or the banana of life. Or in Japanese, in Japan, even though they do eat pan bread, that's an inside joke between me and my wife. You guys want to know the inside joke, so you guys can be inside the joke. So, you know, my wife, she's married to a Japanese person, although I don't speak Japanese too well. But I tried to teach her some words, and one of the words I taught her was pan, like pan bread. But it came out like pan. And I think she said it to someone, and they said, no, that's not bread, right? Was it someone? Oh, you know, okay. But... but in Japan, they have maybe like rice. I'm the rice of life. And there's a ministry called Rice of Life in Pasadena when I was back in Fuller, and they used to call themselves the Rice of Life. Bread is, it's the staple food. It's something they ate every day. It's something that is not extravagant. You don't have to be, it's not the filet mignon of life, which would be great, you know. I'm the ribeye of life. Who wouldn't enjoy a ribeye? But guess what? You don't eat ribeye every day, right?
No.
And not everyone can afford ribeye. But Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. Something that we can, all of us have access to. Even the poor, there's access to bread. Because it's readily available. And it's meant to be consumed every day. And one of the things I was contemplating about, I'm going off my notes a little bit about this, is, you know, Jesus is something we need daily. It's something that's accessible to us daily. Isn't that great? You guys ever get that feeling of just gratitude when you're at the supermarket? You ever go to the supermarket and say, wow, look at all of this food. And I could buy it, like what I need. And it's right here. Here Jesus is saying, I'm right here. I'm available. And whoever comes to me can have this bread of life. Every day. Anytime. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be privileged. But it's available for you. I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This declaration that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the sustainer of life. Comes the day after Jesus multiplies bread. So if you look at chapter 6 of John, in the first part of it, I believe, Jesus comes and multiplies bread for the multitude. And they all ate bread, and they were like, this is amazing bread. We've never had anything like this. This is like beyond bread. No. I had to say it. I keep on having to say it. This is amazing. And they were so mind blown about how good this was. And they were hungry too. So it's like, it's not bread when you're not hungry and they give you bread. But it's like, they were pretty hungry. They didn't even know if they're going to eat dinner that night. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, boom, makes bread. And it's like, better than croissant when you have it for the first time. You guys remember croissant for the first time? You were like, what is this? But it was better than that. It was amazing. And then Jesus moves to the other side of the lake, and they're all looking for him, and they finally find Jesus. And you think Jesus would be happy, right? He just had a great service. Thousands and thousands of people were there. He taught them, he fed them, they had a really good time. And now he's by himself. And the multitude, they find Jesus again. And again, it's like one of those revivals, you know? It's just not just on a Sunday. Let's keep this revival going on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. And it felt like that probably. Here, all of these people are here for God, for Jesus. But Jesus isn't impressed. It doesn't go to his head. In fact, he realizes why they're there. They want more bread. And he calls them out on that. It's not in the passage we just read today, but he calls them out in context of this passage. That you're not looking for me because of me. You're looking for me because you had your fill and you want more. And I'm sure this is a common problem God has, even amongst his own people. And not that God isn't happy to fill us with these things we need, you know? They need to be fed. God loves giving these things to us. That's sort of the dilemma. He loves to feed us. He loves to clothe us. He loves to give us and shower us with just gifts and gifts and gifts. I believe that God is a giver of all good things, and he'll go over and beyond what we need and just bless us. I believe that's who God is. And he will do this one day when we're able to fully appreciate it. And that'll probably be for most of us on the next side of heaven, not on this side. I think for most of us, if we win the lottery, boom, I don't know. Imagine if you just won $1 billion the next day. Ooh. Some of it just would not be good for some of us. Anyways, I believe God wants to give us all of these good things. But he realizes that these people, and sometimes you and I, when we come to God, it starts off as, God, give me more bread. Can you give me, that was amazing. And then all of a sudden it's like, God, give me bread. And then all of a sudden it's like, God, that chair looks comfortable. Can I sit on your chair? Give me some bread. And all of a sudden, although God wants to bless us and give us all of these good things, it's like we're using God to fill our immediate need. And it's not just the problem with bread, right? This could happen with anything. And it happens with probably everything. If we get distracted by some of these things, of course, we get distracted by vices, but we also get distracted by some things that are important. All a distraction from God Himself. And there are some easy ones to, easy things that we could replace bread with, like money, right? Fame, career, you fill in the blank, materialism, control, power, sex, all of these things becomes a problem. It's something that's good, it's something that we need, it's something that God wants to bless each and every one of us with, but sometimes it gets to the point where we come to God to ask for all of these things, and God knows that if He gives it to us, very likely it will become an idol in our heart. It will replace God. So what does He do? What can He do? He goes on to say, but as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Never ever drive away. The amplified version. Isn't this? This is just amazing to me. Jesus, early on, knows they're going to reject Him. He knows they're not just simply going to say, okay, Jesus, we don't believe you. Now, that kind of rejection is fine. It'll probably hurt me. But it gets even worse, right? Jesus knows that one day they'll start shouting, crucify, crucify, crucify. He knows all of this. And it wasn't because He wasn't convincing enough. It wasn't because He didn't have the goods, When He spoke, it was amazing. When He did miracles, it was authentic. And it wasn't just these little miracles, It was these miracles. Here is something that I believe is key. It says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I think there's two things that's amazing. Jesus knew He was going to be rejected, and He still did all these things. He still fed the multitudes. He still opened the eyes of the blind. He still healed the lepers. In one occasion, 10 of them, and only one came back to thank Him. He still did all of these miracles. He made wine for them. Knowing He'd be rejected, regardless whether He would be accepted, He gladly served and gave Himself selflessly to people. Isn't that amazing, God? Isn't that a wonderful God? I don't know anyone else who would do that. you know, all of these things. And in a couple of years, they'll yell, crucify, crucify. Let the other guy go free. Crucify him. Crucify him. Jesus knew that was coming, and he still did all of these things without a hint of resentment, bitterness, anger, any of those things. But he knew that it was the Father, because it was the Father would bring them. Why did he continue to do all these things, even though he'll be rejected? Let me read on. He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day." Why would he do all of that, knowing that they will one day yell and shout, crucify him, throw things at him, spit at him, mock him, jeer him, and all these other things? Is this one thing he says, I have come to do my Father's will. Because he didn't look for the bread of approval of others, he came to do the Father's will. He didn't look for the bread of popularity, came to do the Father's will. He didn't look for the bread of recognition, the bread of power, the bread of certainty, the bread of all these things that you and I were so prone to seek. Yes? No? You know, there was a parable that Jesus taught. In this parable, there was four types of people. You know? One of the types of people, they hear the word of God and nothing happens. Nothing. They're just like, this is garbage. Leave me alone. There's another type that they hear God's word and they're excited. They're like, this is amazing. But then life gets tough, as it often does, and they just pull away and say, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. There's another type that hears the word of God, it actually penetrates them deep into their hearts, and they want to do good. But the worries of this world, the cares of this world, and the power of the allure of the things of this world choke them. And they bear very little fruit, if any fruit. And then there are those that the Word of God penetrates deep into their hearts. They're able to overcome all of these things and bear much fruit. Jesus is an example of that person that bear much fruit. And Jesus was able to overcome all of those things because he was not distracted by the things of this world. He didn't go to God to ask God for things to satisfy him. Now, I've heard this before, and I think it's true, I'm not sure. But there's this thing, you know, all of us has a God-shaped hole in ours, right? In our hearts. A God-shaped hole in our hearts. And only God could fill that place. The trouble is when we try to use God to fill that with things that we think we need. We need more bread, God. You know what? This bread is, we've had bread all of this, you know. Can we have some meat? Can we have some potatoes? Can we have some onions? Can we have some leeks? Can we have anything else other than this bread, God? This bread is getting a little, you know, it's getting tired. Every day wake up and seek this bread, and it's the same thing. You know, one thing I didn't mention about bread earlier is, bread's not that sexy, right? It's bread, you know. Can we have some jam on that bread or some peanut butter? You know, it just, and it's like that. Let me just tell you, walking with God is like that sometimes. It's not always going to be peanut butter and jam. It's just going to be bread. Because that's what we need. It's just going to be a daily thing. Maybe a little routine. Maybe a little bland. Maybe even looks religious, you know? Because it's, but it's something we need, you know? And let me just say, most of us are very religious. And a lot of us were probably religious about nothing to do with God too, right? How many of us, we got to wake up and we need that cup of coffee? Huh? Yeah? Yeah? I had a friend one time, I heard this story. He'd come in late to work, but he'd have his Starbucks coffee with him, you know? Like he needed that coffee. Some of us, we just, every day we need to wake up and we need to take that shower. It doesn't matter if we're late, we're running late, we need that shower. For me, every day I wake up and I drink a lot of water, or not a lot, but you know, a tall glass of water, because I'm usually dehydrated. I sweat a lot, and I don't drink a lot of water throughout the day. Maybe I might just start carrying that big jug, the liter jug around. Maybe I'll become one of those guys. But we, a lot of us, we have a very like set routine, and it has nothing to do with God. And if you mess with that, it like messes with us. I think it's important that we have something set, we put in place, that we seek God on a daily basis. It's not going to be bells and whistles. You're not going to have lightning and angels and all these things. But like bread, it will fill you, it will nourish you, and it will keep you from being hangry. Because some of us, we're going around spiritually hangry, you know? We're just hungry and angry at the same time, and we don't even know what's going on. And we think, oh, we just need more food, or we just need more money, or we just need more recognition, or we just need more likes on our Facebook, Instagram, Zanga. We just need more, I don't know. Hear Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you will not hunger or thirst. And certainly it is not when you get saved and make that declaration and get baptized, is when you come to me. Whoever comes to me. Not just one time. Sometimes we think, oh, we made that, you know, profession of faith. We got baptized. I'm good, you know. I don't need no more God. No, it's whenever you come to me, you will never hunger or thirst. And it needs to be a continually coming to Jesus, not for him to meet all of our other needs, but for him to meet us, our capital G need. And he wants to do that for all of us. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Going back to why did Jesus do all those things? He didn't need any of those other breads. But he was simply coming to God the Father, as we should be going to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in doing that, Jesus said, I have food you know not of. And the food is to do the Father's will. No matter what it costs, no matter what the outcome is, no matter who sees it, no matter if you get paid or not, no matter of any of these other things, Jesus says, my food is to do the Father's will. And for you and I who are seeking God, if we would come to him daily, and we will learn to recognize what his will is and to do it. and to be able to grow from being distracted from all the things of this world. We will learn the true meaning of Jesus being the bread of life, and that when we go to Him, we will never go hungry or thirsty again. Let us pray. Father, I pray for all of us here today who are hungry and thirsty. Lord, it's almost noon. I'm sure some of us are even physically hungry. But I pray, Father, that You would help us to recognize the difference between being physically hungry, the difference between having our immediate need filled, and the desire, the difference between that and the desire, Lord, to You to fill us. Some of us, we need Your life-giving bread, the bread. You are the bread of life, Lord. You are the rice of life, Lord. You are the living bread, the manna that came down from heaven. I pray, Father, that You would give us grace to partake in that, to be filled, to be satisfied with You, Father. Lord, touch us in such a way, Lord. Father, some of us here, we need to know that, we need to taste and see that You are good, Father. Pray You'll touch us. Fill us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.